Morning. I'll just get myself organised. So I said to Tim earlier, I feel like a kid with a packed lunch in front of a crowd full of hungry people. But when I thought that earlier, I thought, look what God did with a packed lunch. He multiplied it and everybody ate and was satisfied. And I reckon the little boy also ate much more than he'd brought with him. So that's my prayer, that we'll all feed on what God's got for us this morning. And I don't normally start by telling you how I came to be speaking this morning, but I think it's worth it. I hope that may become clear as to why. So last week I was sitting where you're sitting, and Sandrine led worship, and she introduced a song and talked about taking ground from the enemy before we sang the song. I think that's right. And all through the worship, it got me thinking about a battleground, really, a battle that we're in. The Christian life, and I was picturing the scene, and we sang, there's an army rising up, and I was thinking, that's us, that's God's kingdom, we're rising up as an army. And Jill brought a word about chains, large and small, being broken, and all these thoughts were going round and round, but nothing to share, just lots of thoughts. And then during the preach, I just began to scribble down on my notice sheet things that were an analogy that was coming into my mind. Sorry, Martin, I was listening. I was multitasking, but I was writing down all this analogy that came into my mind, and I looked at Tim, who was just in front of me, and I thought, if he asked me to preach in the future, this could be one I've got tucked away, so I'll keep it. Anyway, I went home and got on with the rest of the day, and I'm reading a book by Andy Croft and Mike Pilavarci, and I read some that night when I went to bed. And Mike, they do little bits each, so they've written this book together, but every now and again you'll see the head in Andy or you'll see the head in Mike, and they do these little bits. And I thought, oh, it's Mike. I like his little stories. It was exactly the analogy that I'd been thinking about in the morning that I'd scribbled all over my notice sheet. So I thought, oh, okay, I've dredged that up from my memory from somewhere, because I've probably heard it. I've listened to Mike Pilav a lot, and you know, I've probably heard that. So in the morning when I was clearing up, I threw the notes away and thought, maybe not, you know. And then Tuesday, Tim phoned and said, had I got anything on my heart for Sunday morning? So here I am. And of course, I'm telling Tim all this, and Tim's going, oh, wow, that's amazing. I'm thinking, I didn't think it was amazing. I thought, oh, well, never mind. Not all my thoughts are original. So anyway, that's why I'm here. And I'm going to use the analogy anyway. So if you have heard it before, or something similar, it was probably Mike Pilavarci. So the Christian life is sometimes described as being like a battle or a fight. Paul writes to Timothy and says, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. And later, talking about himself, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So if we are in a battle or a fight, I feel like what was laid on my heart from God is he wants to remind us how it ends. He wants to remind us that he wins. So here comes the analogy that you might have heard before. So many of you all know I like football. I've picked it up after my dad suddenly passed away in the middle of the best season Manchester United had been having for 25 years. So I've picked up the baton to support them. And I've been following it ever since. If you don't like football or sport in any way, try and swap it for something else. Rugby, if you must, or tennis. But whatever you're into, watching a live match is fun, right? It's exciting, can be despairing, can be stressful, can be fun. Depends how it's all going. But one of my favourite things to do is to watch the highlights when I know my team has won. I just love that, especially if I've heard that they've gone 3-0 down and come back 4-3 or something in the final minute. I can sit down and watch the highlight, and I can watch the match with a completely different perspective because I know we've already won. So I can be excited. And when the enemy, the opposition, scores, I can think, huh, well, we get you in the end. Completely different to watching it live, right? So when they score against you, you're like, oh no, terrible, 3-0 down, George, you know. What I meant was your team came back from 3-0 down, did they not? Yeah. But when you're watching, when you know how it ends, you watch it with a completely different perspective. And the reason you watch it like that is because you know, and you've believed the reports about that match. You know what it says. You know what it's written on BBC Sport or whatever. Or a friend has told you, hey, we won 4-3 in the end. So you believe it. So you watch the match with a completely different perspective. So I hope you're beginning to see where I'm coming from, is that as an analogy of life, that the way we look at life, our Christian life, can change when we see the end. And what God wants to remind us today is that Jesus wins and we win with him. If you could turn to the back of your Bible in Revelation, I know it's a crazy book and a lot of it is difficult to understand, but I'm not going to go there, you're very welcome to, but I'm just talking generally about Revelation. But the end is written and we know that there's a battle and Jesus wins and we're on the winning side with him. And so our life between now and then, we can look at in a different perspective. All our trials. I want to ask the question, do we know that Jesus is worthy of it all? Do we know that he's worthy of all our trials, our hurts, our sufferings, whether we suffer for him or whether we just suffer because we live in this broken world? He is worthy of it all. And I know when I hear things like that, I think, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your lives look like at the moment. You don't know what my battles are, but God does. He knows them all. And I believe he wants to encourage us and strengthen us with the truth. He has won. It is finished. And everything between us coming to know him and the day we meet him face to face, he wants us to know and have a revelation that he's worthy of it all. So if we'll look at our lives with a fresh understanding of who he is and that he wins, I believe we can live with a completely different mindset. So I want to actually read from Psalm 37. And I'm just going to, I think it might come up. I did give my stick to Richard very late. Sorry about that. But I'm going to skip through. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite long. But for homework, I think you should just read the whole thing because it's amazing. It's absolutely jam-packed with God's instruction to us. Do not fret. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That's us. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. I love that. In another version, I think it says, the Lord laughs at his enemy. He knows the end, and he wants us to know the end as well, so that we can laugh, we can smile, when we can get through times of testing. And then later, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. And then lastly, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen. The whole psalm is just jam-packed. And I think I read at least three times, do not fret. It leads only to evil. Do not fret. Wait patiently for God. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord and do good. And I think that's God's message to us this morning about our lives. Do not fret. And I looked up the word fret and it says, worry, be anxious, feel uneasy, be distressed, be upset, concern yourself, or feel unhappy. And I thought, wow, God says, don't worry and be anxious. Don't feel uneasy. Don't even concern yourself. He's got it. Don't feel unhappy. Do not fret. Trust in me. So how do we live this out? Because we all face trials of many kinds, some horrendous. But I think one way is to remind ourselves daily of what God says. I mean, I could literally be here all day reading out promises and encouragements from the Bible. And I feel like this is something God wants to remind us of today, that this is what we need to hold on to. This is what we need to cling on to. This is where we get our perspective. This is where we remember that God is in charge. This is where we're told that he's got it and he's got our life in his hands. This is where he tells us that he loves us. He says, don't be afraid. This is what we need to pick up and read and or listen to and take into our hearts so that we can live with the right perspective, so that we can know that whatever we're facing today or tomorrow, that we're living with God. He's with us in it. What he says needs to become our bread, our life. It needs to feed us every day. We need to pick it up. We need to listen to it. We need to cling to it. It will hold us steady through times of trial. It will encourage us and build us up. Sorry. So a few things it says. And I hope you're okay with this. I'm just going to give a few scriptures straight off. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. For our light and momentary troubles, I love this one, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. Our troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I don't know how many times the Bible says, don't be afraid. And here it says, you haven't received a spirit of fear, you've received a spirit of the living God. You've received a spirit of sonship who puts in your heart the ability to cry out, Father, Abba, Father. And then I read the next verse and I thought, maybe not so popular, but it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I'll just read that again, I think. Now, if we are God's children, and we are, then we are heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The word doesn't emphasize the word if. I've done that. But I think it's a big word. It's just two letters, but it's a big word. If we share in his sufferings, we'll also share in his glory. And I don't know about you, but I don't really want the sufferings. I'm looking forward to the glory. But can you have one without the other? Can you have glory without suffering? And I asked Joyce if I could share about her walk that she did. Was it 2 years ago? And it's a centurion walk, and you have to walk 100 miles in 24 hours. And I asked Joyce if I could share it as an example of glory and suffering. That's the heading that Joyce had gave it. And I'm just going to read it as Joyce gave it to me. So to qualify as a centurion, you need to walk 100 miles in 24 hours in a judged competition. My number, Joyce's number for life, is for life, and she is the 42nd woman in the UK to qualify. It's a strange accolade to pursue, but I just wanted to prove I could do it. My first attempt was in 2012, and I managed 13 hours only. My second attempt was in 2014, and the officials allowed me to finish the 100 miles in 24 hours and 11 minutes. It was excruciating to be so close and yet to ultimately fail. Eventually, I made it with 17 minutes to spare in 2017. It took training in all weathers. I had to build all my admin, like eating and toilet breaks, into that 24 hours, and the clock didn't stop ticking at all. I couldn't have done it without a support team around me and friends that lived through the injuries, the early morning, the long training walks. Physically, I had to be capable, but I had to have mental fortitude, and that is often the hardest bit. Changing my negative thoughts to positive ones so that I felt like I could do it. The suffering was very real. Sleep deprivation, rain, heat, scary pitch dark portions on the course, blisters, chafing, sadness at not having the time to thank people that came out to support me. I just couldn't stop walking. The glory, My number is mine for life. The achievement can't be undone. The experience that was shared by hundreds of my friends who came and cheered me on for hours and hours, it was totally worth it. It was totally worth it. And I think it's a great example. It's a great example of paying the price for the prize. And it's a great example of keeping your eyes on the prize while you're walking through the price that you're paying. Jesus endured, it says, the word says, Jesus endured the cross before he was given the glory of sitting down at God's right hand. Isn't he worthy of all our suffering? Shall we not endure armed with the knowledge of the end? Will we let anything swerve us from our destiny if we keep the end in sight? Or will we take courage and laugh at adversity, knowing how the game ends, as it were, in the analogy? Again, God's word constantly encourages us. He says the battle belongs to him. He says multiple times, do not be afraid. He says, do not be anxious, but talk to him about everything. He says to lean on and rely on him. He says Jesus is the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before God's glorious presence without fault and with great joy. I'm so looking forward to that. It says fix your eyes on the things that you can't see rather than the things that you can see. And he says he's working all things together for our good. I believe we need God to open our eyes to see the end so that we can live life with the right perspective. No matter what we go through. I remember when I got baptized, I remember saying that, no matter what, I want to follow Jesus. And years later, somebody watched it and said, really? No matter what? And I hadn't thought about what I was saying particularly, but I obviously felt that, no matter what. But I think, you know, you go through things later on in life and you think, well, I said, no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter what I go through, no matter what, I'm going to remember that I do not belong to a defeated army. I belong to the army of the living God. And in the end, I am going to see the glory of his presence. It's serious. If we don't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we don't believe that he's worth everything we go through, will we make it? Will we deal with our hurts instead of burying them? Will we forgive and let go of the debts we feel people owe us? Can we bear the worst of circumstances if we don't know him and believe his promises? Jesus endured the cross, bearing its shame, because he saw the joy set before him. I believe that's also what we need to see. We need to see the joy set before us so that we can walk through life, so that we can endure the things that come up against us, that we can fix our eyes on him as Jesus fixed his eyes on the joy set before him. The joy was that he would save us. The joy was that he would see us here this morning worshiping. That was his joy. He set that before him, and his face was like flint as he walked through the cross. And I believe that God wants to give us a revelation of that joy, that glory, that life that is beyond this life. That as we look and fix our eyes on him, there won't be anything in this life that can swerve us. We will work out our salvation with fear and trembling before him. We will walk before him. We will make it to the end. We will be presented faultless before his throne in the end. Because no matter what, we're going for glory. We're walking towards Jesus. So I believe we also need a great cloud of witnesses. We need each other. So just as Joyce in that testimony said, she couldn't have done it without her support team. We need to help each other up. Going back to last Sunday's worship, and I was thinking about this whole battle scene, and I had a picture of a battle scene, probably an old-fashioned one, but you know, there was kind of there's the battle, and then behind the battle somewhere, there's like the sick bay, the sick tent, you know, where people have gone because they're wounded. And I felt like, you know, that's where some of us spend some time. That's where we need to spend some time. We're not always going to be out there. And those of us who are strong and fighting need to take care of the people who can't even lift their sword, who are wounded back in the sick bay, as it were. We need to take care of each other. When we're weak, even when we're weak, though, we can still cry out to God for help. We can still call on him, but we need to help one another. He doesn't expect us to live our life on our own. He doesn't expect, that's why he made church, he doesn't expect us to try and fight the good fight without the help of each other. He himself will lift us up, but he sends his word and he sends others. I'm just going to add this in, really. I wasn't intending to say it, but a couple of weeks ago I had a picture of Peter when he walked on the water, and then he sunk because he saw the waves. And he cried out to Jesus immediately, and Jesus immediately pulled him out of the water. And I just thought, sometimes I think when I need help, I flap about a bit first and see if I can just swim through it. See if, you know, I'm strong, I can do it. It's not my first immediate thing to call on Jesus, perhaps. But I feel like he wants to remind us again, you know, he's there. His word says, call on me and I will answer you. It says, lift your eyes and call on God. Where does your help come from? It comes from God. And I feel like some of us maybe need to stop trying to swim our way out of trouble. We just need to call on Jesus and allow his hand to reach down. So to end, I'm sorry it's a bit early, I want to spur you on to keep going, to keep fighting with all the strength God gives and not to give up. I want you to take hold of this and cling to it as hard and fast as you possibly can, because this is not only the word of God, this is Jesus himself in word. This is the one you need to cling to, whatever you're going through. This is the one who you need to fix your eyes on. And don't take your eyes off him. You need to trust him and rely on him. He's perfectly trustworthy and true. And he's a rock. And this is what you need to stand on. And you need to call out to help for help. You need to call on him to help you in time of trouble. You need to lean on, we need to lean on each other. And we need to be available for others to lean on us when they can't fight for themselves. And we need to remember the end of the story. Jesus wins. Honestly, go to Revelation and have a look. Plough through it, because it is worth ploughing through. It's hard work, actually. But plough through it and look at the end of the story. Jesus wins, and we win with him. Glory awaits us in the end. He has given his all for us. And I believe that when we meet him and see our light and momentary troubles in the light of his face, we will look back and say, he was worth it all. He really is worth it all. Amen. Amen.